You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair and Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating deservedly, and she texted me just now and says she misses absolutely all of you. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we in this house still call Twitter. Once again, a reminder that President Trump will be making an announcement from the Oval Office at 1 p.m. Central. Stick here with Civic Media. I'm sure we'll have coverage, and I'm sure we'll be talking about whatever he has to say because it's coming from the Oval. Probably going to be important. So, yes, once again, 1 p.m., President Trump will be addressing the nation from the Oval Office. Stay close for Civic Media for more information. As we know more, we will share more. But for right now, I have a fantastic guest here for you today. He is the professor, chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He's also the president of AFT Wisconsin. He's also an author. He's a labor movement specialist, a union activist, a guy who I am very excited to have on the show. I've heard so much about. Professor John Shelton, thank you so much, sir, for being on the show today. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Greg. And saying all that stuff makes me feel like I should take a nap.
Do it. I've read your CV. You deserve a rest, okay? But a happy belated Labor Day to you, and we're very excited to have you on. When I was approached to have you on, they were like, do you want to have John Shelton on to talk about labor and the union? I'm like, yes, we need to talk more about this. And I want to start somewhere right here in Wisconsin. Of course, we can't get away from it. It seems like we're always in a state of perpetual election, but we have a big election here for governor next year. And your group wrote a letter to the candidates for that race. And I wanted you to talk more about that and what the letter had to say to them.
Yeah, well, so first of all, I spoke two different places yesterday here in Green Bay for Labor Day, and one of my themes was basically that politicians won't save us. So let's start with that. I mean, we have to organize ourselves, but obviously politics matter a lot. Mm-hmm. And so this was over a month ago now, but when Governor Evers was kind of on the fence about running for a third term, right? And we weren't sure whether he was going to do it or not. I read a column that Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee wrote for the Minocqua Brewing Company and the Substack there, which mm-hmm. is very well read, which is very highly read in the state. And we just started texting after, and I spent like way too much time because I was in Woodman's when we were texting, right? And so if y'all know Woodman's,
place is huge.
Spent like 4 hours in Woodman's because I kept stopping to text Chris, and I finally got done. I was like, all right, let's talk. And we decided to, over a phone call, that what we should do is draft an open letter that no matter who ran in this election, there needed to be certain things that they did, whether it was Evers or somebody else. And mm-hmm. so we brought in a number of other folks who were interested in this project, a lot of other labor union leaders. You know, Chris got some colleagues in the legislature. And, you know, the letter, which, you know, folks can find out there and they actually can still sign on to, basically said what we want from a candidate, anybody, whether it's Evers or somebody else in this election, is somebody who is going to be committed to certain things, obvious things like empowering labor unions, racial justice, reducing mass incarceration, having a clean environment, all those things. But to me, I think what I was really proudest of in terms of the letter is it said, whoever the next governor is needs to be somebody who's going to fight with progressive groups. My interest in this really comes from the labor movement, but obviously other progressive groups are involved as well. You know, Citizen Action signed on to this, for example. And, you know, that letter, I think, has become even more important as we now have an open primary, right? Because I'm not talking to a lot of candidates, and we've already got a several great candidates who have declared, and there will be a lot more mm-hmm. that will be announcing very soon. And, that's what we're looking for as a union, is to see who's going to show up and fight with us for the things that we need to make this state, frankly, the state that all working people deserve. So that was the impetus for the letter. Again, it's still out there. Folks can still sign on to it. And, you know, we're seeing this as obviously not the final word in terms of what, we expect out of candidates in this election, but, you know, kind of a starting point for that conversation and really a lodestone.
And you were speaking about when we just started here, you were talking about the events you went to yesterday. What are the things you're hearing from folks out of those events, from, you know, from various unions, from various walks of life, various parts of Wisconsin? What are the key things you hear, and what connect than anything else as far as, you know, differing lives but shared experiences?
Yeah, so, you know, Green Bay Electrolysis has a you know, labor event put on by the Green Bay Labor Council. Mm-hmm. It's not a parade as it is in a lot of other places, which was the sort of initial impetus for Labor Day, actually, was workers' parades in the late 19th century claiming public space. But we definitely claim public space, right? It's a big Labor Day picnic. Lots of locally elected officials are there. Union folks are there. And then the second thing I did was later in the day, there was a protest, Workers Over Billionaires, that was mm-hmm. organized by a number of different groups, but Indivisible was a part of organizing that. And I spoke there too. And you know, I think people are fired up this Labor Day, right? I mean, you know, you look at everything that's happened over the summer. And at the federal level, of course, that's you know, Trump and the Trump administration, you know, literally, you know, sort of gloating about taking away food mm-hmm. from people and taking away healthcare from vulnerable folks. And of course, you know, locking up our immigrant brothers and sisters in this, the most cruel way possible and occupying American cities. And I don't know what that announcement's going to be about, but, you know, could very well be an announcement that, you know, Trump is mobilizing the National Guard in Chicago, right? Yeah. So, you know, and of course we don't love Chicago during football season, but we stand with Chicago if Absolutely. That happens, you know. And so you know, I think people are feeling a real sense of like, what do we do about this? And so the things I kind of talked about in both obviously slightly different you know, tones for each event, but you know, the thing I really emphasized is that we're not the first people in American history to have to fight for the things that we value. We have a very long history of workers and other groups organizing through militant action to fight for their rights, and this moment is no different. And it helps nourish us when we know that we have those groups who have come before us. And what I challenged everybody to do was to think about what they can do every day to fight authoritarianism. And it's going to look different for every person. And, you know, I really do believe that, you know, for folks who are in unions, we're very central in this fight. People have to build their unions. But, you know, that people were very receptive to that message. They want to be doing something. You know, they want to take action every day to fight for our democracy and to fight against authoritarianism.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking to Professor John Shelton. He is a professor at UW Green Bay, as well as an author, as well as the president of Wisconsin, or the president of AFT Wisconsin. And we're talking about the labor movement. We're talking about labor fests around the state, as well as an open letter that his group wrote to the candidates running for the 2026 governor's race next year in Wisconsin. And something you brought up that was interesting, I a friend of mine up in Green Bay, actually, she's a union organizer named Kristen Lighty. And
I know Kristen.
She is fantastic. And she was on our show yesterday for our pre-record for our special Labor Day and episode. And one of the things that she talked about, and I think this is very true, is that Wisconsin and America have a very rich history with the labor movement, but over the past decades, it's been allowed to be squashed, rewritten, retold, or just forgotten, not taught at all. And really, in the past few years, we've seen a resurgence in the history of why it's important, what it's done for us as a community, from whether you're talking about state, local, or federal, and why it's important to not only remember, but to pass this information to the next generation of young people who may see unions as, well, why do I need a union? I feel like there's more of a resurgence in, at least in popularity, but also just that understanding of what the unions have done for us as just, you know, as Americans.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely the case. You know, and I bet a lot of your listeners don't realize that we actually have a state law that mandates that students learn about labor history in high school.
Nope, didn't know that. Just found that out right now.
Yeah. Got passed, I believe, in 2009 under Governor Doyle, and then everybody kind of just kept kind of under the radar when Walker was governor, because we didn't want it to be repealed. But we do have that law, and actually at UW Green Bay, I have a labor class that is part of the you know, the training curriculum for people becoming social studies teachers, because we know that is a state law. So So, you know, folks who are coming out as educators from our program at UW Green Bay, they do know a little bit of labor history because they're likely taking my class. But I think the way you mentioned it, young people asking why we need a union, actually, unions have never been more popular among young people. So I believe I haven't seen the most recent numbers, but there's new polling that comes out every year around Labor Day, actually. And last year, polling came out that showed that for people under the age of 30, labor unions have about a 90% public approval rating.
Wow.
And actually striking has an 87% public approval rating. So young people get this, but the history is really important because it's important for us to be able to help young people understand that like a union's not something that's this like unattainable thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are ways for you to organize, and understanding the past is really important. And as people are building unions now, also understanding places where labor might have gone wrong is also really important, right? Because it's not an unalloyed success story, right? Yeah. I mean, there were elements of racism and sexism in the labor movement that we need to be attentive to. And so learning about that stuff has never been more important. But I think the most important thing is learning about the sense of possibility. And again, it's less than I'm an academic, but as I've mostly spent my life doing union leadership, the academic stuff is not really as important as the storytelling, right? Like what stories can we find from the past where we can build that sort of historical solidarity with people and show that we're part of a much bigger movement. And, you know, those are the things that I think labor history are really, really good for.
I think that's very important what you just said there about, you know, basically essentially warts and all. It's like no one's perfect, no organization's perfect, no movement's perfect, and it's about reckoning the bad with the overall good and saying like that happened, we work hard to make sure it doesn't happen, or we have mechanisms in place to mitigate those problems. But I think that's a very important part, because like for me growing up, I wouldn't say we didn't like, my father was a union trucker growing up, but he didn't really like being in the union. He didn't hate it. He didn't despise them. He paid his dues, but he just was like, I don't know why I'm part. I don't need it. And I think what he never understood is he didn't need it because it wasn't needed for him. He just was doing his thing, but they would have been there for him. He just never had to use the opportunity for a union rep. So I think telling that story, as you were saying, how important they are, and also how easily how they're easily attained is very much a part of the conversation as well. And we're going to keep the conversation going with Professor John Shelton, who is the president of the Wisconsin AFT, or AFT Wisconsin, excuse me. And when we come back, I want to talk about something that's very important, especially in Wisconsin, which is about, you know, as we mentioned earlier, finding out the things we have in common and how we can work together, regardless of whether you're from the city or whether you're from the rural area. But we're going to keep that conversation going with Professor John Shelton. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We'd love to hear from you, but go get some snacks. Go get hydrated. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's currently vacating, and she will be back before you know it, but I'm here in the big chair, and we're happy that you are joining us today. If you want to call or text, it's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. You can do that by watching us on Facebook, YouTube, or the place we still call Twitter. I got a text from Julie in Wausau listening on WXCO. She's talking about speaking on the discussion we had earlier on the immigration raids. I am disgusted by the way that ICE is hunting down immigrants. These are the people in our community who are milking our cows, packaging our meat, picking our vegetables, working in restaurants, cleaning hotel rooms, taking care of our elderly. They pay taxes and contribute to Social Security and Medicare. Thank you very much, Julie, for chiming on that one. Yep, exactly. They're part of the community. They're part of our community, regardless of what people like to say or believe. But That's a conversation that's going to keep on going. The conversation that's going right now is with Professor John Shelton. He is a professor at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He is also the president of AFT Wisconsin. He is an author. He is a man of great, great acclaim, and he has done a lot. He's going to take a nap after this interview because he has deserved it. But he's talking to us about Labor Fest. We're talking about Labor Day, the union movement in Wisconsin and throughout the country. And something, sir, that when I spoke to my friend Kristen Lighty, who is an organizer up in Green Bay, about is, you know, when we think of the unions, we think of, you know, the union job, you know, representing the workers. But when you first started talking about the goals that you sought through a candidate for the 2026 election, it's not just about unions. It's about social justice. It's about equality. It's about all these other things. And that's, to me, I think part of the union discussion that we don't really cover a lot is how much the unions care about those issues, as well as, you know, the rights of workers. It's about equality, equity for the people in this country beyond the unions. It's for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's this kind of classic way of looking at labor unions, right? Which is like that unions can either support what are so-called bread and butter issues or other issues, right? And that somehow it's like problematic if, you know, unions, you know, look beyond issues that are, you know, not sort of directly related to the concerns of immediate like pocketbook concerns of workers. But the reality is that, you know, unions are always stronger when they have a broader community to rely on and to work with and to build the kind of world where everybody is included. You know, because one of the things that the right tries to do, and this has obviously been magnified a lot with the authoritarian in the White House and really the party of authoritarianism, is they want to divide us, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that allows them to be successful, and you've seen it, right? They've successfully divided the working people of this country, is to divide people around cultural issues, around race, around gender, around gender identity and sexual orientation. And you know what the labor movement does when it's at its best is it says we reject that, we will not allow you to do that, and we will have solidarity with each other. Mm-hmm. And you know the text that you got or email you got about immigrants, right? It's not just that they're doing all those things, paying taxes, et cetera. They're fellow workers, mm-hmm. right? And so whether you're working at a university or you're, you know, running a radio show or you're, you know, the producer of this radio show, like Calvin. Sorry, I'll just call him out, or anybody else, or you're milking cows on a dairy farm. Like, yeah. We're all workers, right? And that's what binds us together. And you know, when you can fight for things like racial justice and gender equity, and you know, to include our trans brothers, sisters, and other siblings in what we do, that actually strengthens the labor movement, right? It's not a distraction. It's what we are. And so how can we possibly have a conversation about building the state that we deserve and that all of our members deserve and that our students deserve and that our clients deserve, right? How can we do that if we're not committed to those things?
And in the last few minutes that we have, I wanted to take that just a little step further too, is about, you know, is that the divide is also can be, you know, geographical. And I'm not talking about Los Angeles versus, you know, small town America. I'm talking about, you know, someone who lives in Milwaukee versus someone who lives in Hayward, Wisconsin, farmers, and how the unions can affect them and help them, because it's not just about the workers in the factories. As you said, we're all workers, and making them understand that we're here for you as well. And that this attempt to divide it shouldn't work because we're all in this together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, like look at how Trump has done this, right? I mean, like I believe it was the vice president, right? Who basically said maybe we'll go into Milwaukee,
yeah,
now, right?
Yeah.
And that's by design, right? Yeah. They're going after Democratic cities and in places. I was just talking to somebody about why Chicago, and I just realized the answer, right? Chicago, Milwaukee, these are big blue urban enclaves in the middle of cities or in states where you have, you know, urban rural divides, right? Yeah. And so what Trump is trying to do is to purposely, whether he's doing it intentionally or not, is to drive that wedge between people. And the reality is, you know, when we let authoritarians and billionaires try to dictate our lives. And by the way, they won't stop until they have everything, right? Mm-hmm. They don't just want most of it. They want all of it.
Yeah.
You know, that affects that farmer. You know, when you have agricultural companies, you know, having CAFOs and tainting the water and making it difficult for small dairy farmers to operate. And I think that is a mistake we've made a little bit in the labor movement, is not being attentive enough to that. And I think we need to be. We need to be thinking about how this, you know, building a big tent where we can all talk about each other's issues, but really unified around the idea that you have billionaires trying to basically take our livelihoods. And as far as I can remember, we fought a revolution over the idea that people with a concentration of power could dictate our lives.
Well, the revolution keeps on fighting, and I really thank you for your time, sir. I really appreciate you being here. I could talk to you about this for hours, but for now, I will let you go. Please come back anytime and bring the good news and bring the good work. Professor John Shelton has been our guest. He is the AFT Wisconsin president, also a professor at University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Sir, thank you so much. Happy belated Labor Day. We'll talk to you hopefully sooner than later. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Happy Labor Day, brother, and happy Labor Day to everybody else out there.
All right. When we come back from the news, Terry Barr is here to talk about her slice of Wisconsin. So don't go far. Stay close. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. You are listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently somewhere, but not here. But she misses you, and she wants you to drink water. If you want to get in touch with us, our number, call or text, it's the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you so choose. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the place in this house we still call Twitter. But at the end of the show, we will be doing This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Want Fries With That edition at 10:52, so don't go anywhere. That's how we round out the show. Lots of great stuff happening throughout the day. Just a reminder, at 1 p.m. Central, so 1 p.m. our time, President Trump will be making an announcement from the Oval Office. We do not know what it's about. Information has not been released, but as we know more, we will share more. But stay here, because I'm sure we will have coverage and I'm sure we'll be talking about it, but you can always count on Civic Media for the up-to-news updates. 1 p.m., President Trump making an announcement from the Oval Office. Todd Alba on from 2 to 4, as we talked about earlier. Then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's going to be talking to Angela Lang, who was here last week as our co-host. And they're going to be talking about Labor Fest. They're going to be talking about the Senate elect for Iowa's Senate District number 1, who flipped the district last week. So that's going to be a great show. And then, of course, Pete Schwabo with Nightlight from 6 to 8. He is going to be talking to Ty Williams, who is Milwaukee film programmer. And that's going to be a great show. But even after Pete's done, there is amazing, amazing programming with Civic Media. You can listen to Rational Revolution. You can listen to Native Roots Radio. Get the Civic Media app in your life, and you can do that. Listen to us. Keep us close. Keep it tuned in, because we got great programming, great content, great things to talk about. And one of the great things I get to do in this job is talk to my next guest. As Jane puts it, the genie who does pretty much everything at Civic Media, Terry Barr is here. Terry, how are you?
I am good. It's hard to live up to that introduction, though, Greg.
It's you who do all of the things. So I feel like, if anything, it's not enough.
You are so kind.
God Emperor Terry.
Happy Labor Day to you. I hope you had a good one.
Yeah, I did. Yesterday was a relaxing one. As I mentioned earlier, we had a big weekend with family. My mother-in-law's 80th birthday. We celebrated this past weekend because everyone was in town. Lots going on, lots of visiting, lots of eating. And so by 3:30 yesterday, I was just laying on the couch saying, is it too early to go to bed? Because I'm tired enough.
That's funny.
So yep. It wore me. How was your Labor Day weekend, Terry? What were you up to?
It was pretty quiet.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Sometimes it's nice to not have things planned, isn't it?
That's definitely an adult thing. Like, when you just look around going, we don't have anything to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys want to watch replays of Simon and Simon? Absolutely, we do. All right. Because that's what we do on the weekend. But yeah, exactly. I as an adult, I completely appreciate the nothing going on days, where you can say, like, we can do as little or as much as possible, but that's just great. So that's wonderful. I'm glad you had a great, great weekend of relaxing. You have brought with us another installment of your fantastic program, your trademarked thing. I don't know how to, you know, you do it. It's called Slice of Wisconsin, where you highlight a part of Wisconsin, business people, that kind of thing. And you brought us something, and I did not listen to the audio because I wanted it to be as fresh in my mind for everybody else. So is there any setup, or do you want to go right to the audio, Terry?
No, let me tell you a little bit about this one.
All right.
I'm talking about a museum in Wisconsin, and it's the Rahr West Art Museum. It's located in Manitowoc.
Okay.
And it's celebrating 75 years this year. But that isn't all. You know, that's a big milestone for a museum, which is great. It's owned by the city. So the city takes this very seriously. And it's going to be open this weekend for a big festival. It's called Sputnik Fest. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Greg.
I mean, I've heard of Sputnik, but I didn't have ever heard of Sputnik Fest.
Well, here's the fascinating thing that makes this a slice of Wisconsin. When anything happens, we always say, oh, it's probably has a tie to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Well, way back in the 60s, Sputnik number 4 blew up, and a big chunk of it landed in the street right in front of the museum in Manitowoc. I can't make this up. This is very real. But now they've decided to put a great festival around it. And Greg Vadney is with the museum. He talked to me about what this means, not just to the museum, but the community. And it'll probably surprise you a little bit, too. Let's listen to what he says.
Go ahead, play that, Calvin.
And for us, as an art museum and historic mansion, it's a great equalizer because not everyone, and I would venture to guess most people, don't think that an art museum housed in a Victorian mansion is a place where they belong. It's snooty. It's like you have to have a beret when you walk in, right? And Sputnik and Sputnik Fest says, no, we're a place for everybody, and we don't take ourselves too seriously, and come on in. And it's a great way of swinging open those doors and telling everyone that they belong here. So for the museum, it's valuable. For our history, it's valuable. And really for our community history, that we have this thing that we can cling to that happened here and happened nowhere else on earth.
I love the idea that people would think that, like, to go to Sputnik Fest, they're like, I didn't bring a beret. Do you have one for me to wear?
Right. Well, now he said people will be dressing up as all kinds of outer space creatures. So I think the beret's off the table for Sputnik Fest.
I want to just see a Sputnik lookalike contest.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? They do. I think they have on the schedule a dog dress-up contest. So those are always fun. But to think this chunk of Sputnik fell, crash-landed, on the street in front of the museum of all places, and now how they want to turn this into a regular festival. I think it's just so much fun. What a great way to learn about a piece of history. Mm-hmm. They've got the piece in the museum. Yeah. And they say, you know, this whole museum idea, people from around the world have heard that they have this piece in it, in the museum from Sputnik. And when I was talking with Vadney, he said, it seems like more people in other parts of the world know about this than we do in Wisconsin. So that just makes it really interesting. And if you want to check it out and be part of all the fun, Sputnik Fest is happening this Saturday. But again, I think it's a great little slice of Wisconsin.
I completely agree. If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we're talking to Terry Barr, the genie who does pretty much everything here at Civic Media. And you can always go to civicmedia.us/news for all the stuff that Terry is working on. But I agree. I think that there's a lot. I mean, I think part of the reason, Terry, that this what you do with Slice of Wisconsin is so great is because it's true. There's so much that people know about us that we don't know about ourselves. Those Wisconsin tie-ins, those little pieces of history that, you know, the, wait a minute, Liberace's from Wisconsin? You know, like those kinds of things. So, and honestly, I just love it when people use really fun reasons for a festival or a thing. You know, I mean, nothing against the piece of Wisconsin or piece of Sputnik. I love that. But it's also just a thing of like, hey, how can we turn this into a community-based party where we bring people in, have a good time? Really, I mean, let's be honest, Terry. Now is as good a time as any to celebrate and have fun. There's a lot going on in the world. And to be able to kick back for a Saturday and say, hey, let's go look at a piece of a space that fell into our backyard. I think that's great. I think that's great.
I do too. And if you've never been to Manitowoc, it's mm-hmm. a lovely city, and a chance to check out this, as he put it, a museum that is in a mansion and is owned by the city. I mean, just go and have some fun for a Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely. And in fact, I can say this too. I was speaking earlier about what's coming up later on in the evening on Civic Media. During Nightlight with Pete Schwabe tonight, 6 to 8, you can listen to it. He will be speaking to Greg Vadney in the WGBW studio. So if you want to learn more about it, tune in. You can do that by getting the Civic Media app. You can listen to it. Get it on your device. You can listen to that show then and enjoy that. I mean, because I would love to go. I want to see Terry. Let's be honest. If you know me, I just want to see the dog costume contest.
I know.
I just see little Sputniks on four paws, just with little things sticking out. Just who's the cutest Sputnik? I mean, absolutely.
Yes, I will ask for photos if I don't get to go by, and I will make sure you get to see those.
Excellent. Is there anything else going on? Slice of Wisconsin that you got your eye on? I know you also join Pete's show every Friday for bar. What's Bar Room Friday?
It's Bar Band
Bar
Friday
Band Friday. Night. You highlight local music, and I mean, that's the thing, is you do so much, Terry, for the local culture. What do you have simmering brewing coming up that you'd love to share with us?
I just did a story, and this was another Slice of Wisconsin. It's on our website, the front page, so you can listen to it if you'd like. But about the history of the Badgers, because of Badgers just started their football season last Thursday. And you know, when you dig into some of these stories, you're always amazed that you find things you didn't know. And that's kind of what you were saying with Sputnik and just history of our state in general. And the Badgers were not called Badgers because of the animal. Originally, they were called the Badgers way back in the 1800s because of the miners that were in the Mineral Point area and how they would dig caves like a badger to keep themselves warm while they were working. So many interesting ties that are so fun to share with everybody in these Slice of Wisconsins.
I'm finding out so much on today's episode. Professor John Shelton is telling me that there was a law on the Wisconsin book saying you had to teach labor history in school. I didn't know that. I didn't know about Sputnik until today. I didn't know about the Badgers till. I don't know, folks. I know nothing about Wisconsin. Apparently,
you're gonna have to take a nap after this show.
I know. I've learned so much from Todd, from Terry, from John. It's been wonderful. I'm gonna walk away with so many topics to bring up at dinner parties. Unwelcome too. I'll be like, they'll be talking about something about, well, you know, they weren't actually called the Badgers because of the animal, right? Well, actually, and then I go into a long screen. I never get invited to that party again.
You would make it very memorable though.
Exactly. I would, because I would be dressed up as a badger. But if you want to read more of that, as I said earlier, as I said before, Terry Barr, all of her stories are on the website, civicmedia.us/news. And if you want to listen to all the shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can listen to it live from the website. You can listen to it via the app or, you know, of course, from the terrestrial radio always works as well. Terry, it's having you here is like a slice of Wisconsin, a slice of heaven. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, everybody. That's Terry Barr, the genie of absolutely everything here at Civic Media. When we return, we are going to be closing the show out with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You want fries with that edition. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text, leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we in this house still call Twitter. But don't go too far, because when we come back, we're going to be wrapping it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Get yourself some water, get a snack, head on over to the show back, because we're going to be having a good time up until 11 o'clock. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close, stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently somewhere in the world, and I don't know where, but she misses you and she loves you. But we thank you for being here for to the rest of the show today. We're having a good time. We talked to a lot of amazing people, Calvin. Calvin, I learned a lot. Did you learn a lot today? I hope you did.
Oh, I just soaked it up like a sponge.
Okay. Wow. That was a weird tone. All right. So if you want to call or text 855-752-4842, 855-756, leave a comment on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and what we still in this house call Twitter. As I said before, great programming coming up after the show. We got Tom Hartman after us from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwaba with Nightlife from 6 to 8. And Calvin, you made me aware of a mistake that I've been making apparently for some time now because I just didn't check the website lately, and that's my fault. My fault.
Everyone makes mistakes, Greg.
Yep. You can listen to Native Roots Radio on the weeknights, but you cannot listen to Rational Revolution on the weeknights. That is not correct. It is the Rick Smith Show. My mistake. You can hear Rational Revolution on the weekends. I just want to make sure people are searching. They're not like, what did that Greg Bach tell me? He is a charlatan and a liar. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I've corrected the mistake. Yeah. Rick Smith, Native Roots Radio, but great programming. If you want to find out more, go to civicmedia.us/shows to find out our whole lineup. All the shows we got going on. You can download episodes and listen to them on your device anytime, anywhere you'd like. Just that simple. Civicmedia.us/shows. Now it's 10:54. I've been talking for what seems like a decade. Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And of course, if you have a thing that you believe that should not be, send it in to Jane, Calvin, and me by emailing us, janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays at civicmedia.us. Send us This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Send us guest information. We can talk about subject matters, but you can get in touch with us. Let us know how we're doing, whether you like us or not, because trust me, people who don't like us use that email as well. But Jane says at civicmedia.us. Now, for today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing, here is the headline found to us by Calvin from the BBC.com website. Shiona McCallum is the senior tech reporter with the byline. Taco Bell rethinks AI drive-thru after a man orders 18,000 waters. Taco Bell is rethinking its use of artificial intelligence to power drive-thru restaurants in the United States after comical videos of tech making mistakes were viewed millions of times. In one clip, a customer seemingly crashed the system by ordering 18,000 water cups, while another person got increasingly angry as the AI repeatedly asked him to add more drinks to his order. It's been since 2023 that the fast food chain has introduced the technology to over 500 locations in the United States. I know, Calvin, the time I've gone to Taco Bell, I'll drive up and it'll say, are you using this the Taco Bell app? I'm like, nope. And then it'll be another person. So I don't know how much AI I'm interacting with, but they thought the AI would do the work, Calvin, and it's not. Once again, AI is comically failing us.
Yeah, AI is not smart. And I guess I will say this article says that they have this AI in 500 locations. So if you consider in the grand scheme of how many Taco Bells there are,
yeah,
there must not be any Taco Bells around here in that 500.
I mean,
you're right. You just get the automated, are you using the app? And then it just is a real person. I would assume this is an actual AI, mm-hmm. like, that is replying to you and tracking what you're saying.
Which is really weird because, like, I had to use AI twice this week. Like, I had to. There was no choice. I try not to use it. And by the way, as of this year in March, there are 8,093 Taco Bells in 51 states and territories. That's a lot of Taco Bells. But AI, like, does this. I had to go on, like, a helpline for my television. And I had to go on and, like, answer the questions. And it kept trying to, like, talk to me in a way that it was convincing me that it was a human, but I knew it wasn't a human. And I just feel like, just give me a phone number. Just give me a real person. I'd love to. But AI, In this situation, I'll say it's because I know the robot overlords are listening to us right now, Calvin. I think that AI has failed us in the Taco Bell end. I won't say anything else because I want to be looked upon by our shiny despots lovingly when the time comes for judgment. But yeah, this is one where I can imagine, like, one clip on Instagram says it's been viewed 21.5 million times, shows a man ordering a large Mountain Dew and the AI voice continually replying, "And what will you drink with that?" I think we can shut it down, Taco Bell. I think we can just trust the person at the drive-thru to do the work.
Yeah, I mean, it's, they're taking our jobs and they're not doing them very well.
Yeah. AI's going to take our jobs and they're going to be just as bad as we are. They're going to get written. That's what the AI is going to get written up. They're going to get like a warning, probation, and then they'll fire AI. You see you here first. We're talking about tech news on it, Matt and Aaron Air. But for now, when you go to Taco Bell, maybe just go inside in order, make your life a lot easier. But that has been another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you so much, Calvin. Thank you so much, Terry Barr. Thank you, Professor John Shelton. Thank you, Todd Alba, for being here for today. Seriously, I learned so much. We got a great show for you today. I'm really glad you were here listening to us. And thank you, texters, commenters, callers, listeners, watchers. Without you, there's no us. You don't want to go very far because coming up after us is going to be the Tom Hartman Show and then just a swath of wonderful programming. Don't forget, 1 p.m. announcement from the Oval Office. Donald Trump will be making a statement to the country. Keep it locked here for more information on that and for the commentary afterwards. We'll be talking about what he has to say. You have been listening to me. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair on Matinair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are absolutely amazing. Let no one tell you differently. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Tuesday. Happy belated Labor Day. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.